Good morning, everybody. I feel like as a true South Dakotan, we should acknowledge, hey, we needed the moisture, right? It's good. It's good. Like, as long as it's not in March, it's snowing. It's good. This is good. Hey, if you're brand new and you're like, maybe you joined us for Christmas and you're like, I might go to church again. We're glad that you're here. We're starting what we call a brand new series. What we're going to do is we're going to open up the Bible. We're going to look at what it has to say. But this particular message kind of sets us up for the whole year. So the joy that I get is I get to use fire, which just I find absolutely wonderful. Because I don't know if you enjoyed, kids don't play with fire. We never play with fire. But I want to read you how the Bible starts, because that's how we're going to start the year. Genesis chapter 1. Very simply, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. If you know this, it begins to detail the creation account. Now, the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And then it clicks in, and God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and there was evening, and there was morning the first day. Now, just think about this. Just think with me. You've got the Almighty God who is not limited by anything. He does not have what you and I have called like restrictions where it's God. He can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants, however he wants. He's not limited with power. He's not limited with authority or an ability. So look what God does at the very beginning from the opening of the Bible. Let there be light. What I'm trying to draw your attention to is God doesn't need light to do things. Got it? To you, it's logical. Yeah, turn the lights on so you can do something, God. But that's not why I contend that he does it. In fact, if you want a summary of the Bible, I believe this opens up what the whole Bible is about, what life is about, what God's trying to do in your life, is to actually put light into your life. He's so, like from the beginning of the Bible, before sin even plays out, look what God does first. He's like, you know what is super important is light. I read one of my favorite authors summarizes, paraphrases, if you took let there be light, and if you like, paraphrase it and said it differently, he says, it's like the Bible says, let there be electromagnetic radiation with varying wavelengths traveling at 186,000 miles per second. Okay, let there be radio waves, microwaves, and x-rays. Let there be photosynthesis and fiber optics. Let there be LASIK surgery, satellite communication, and suntans. Let there be rainbows after rainstorms. So when he says, let there be light, you and I go, yeah, the light turns on. It's deeper than that. It's bigger than that. Let there be light. You and I, one of the things that we bypass all the time is what light is constantly doing in our lives. When God starts off going, here's where I'm beginning, you got to understand it's where he's moving towards. If you track through the whole Bible, eventually Jesus shows up. This is all about light. In the first part, it's the literal part, making light. He separates it. You got light. And if you don't know about light, because I slept through science class, okay? I'm here to admit this to you. I didn't pay attention to science class. I was one of those students who, like, I don't see the point of it. And now that I preach, I wish I had remembered to pay attention and take notes. Because if you study science, you learn about photosynthesis. You learn that your body and my body actually craves and needs light. If anything's going to grow, you got to use light. The whole concept of, like, vegetation and all that kind of stuff is like putting light in there. If South Dakota, right, when it starts to get dark at 4:15 in the afternoon, and you and I begin to feel it, don't we? We were having dinner with some folks the other day, and it was like, man, it's got to be late. It's so late. It's 5:15. Wow. But do you see, like, darkness affects you, which helps you understand how big of a deal light is. Your very bones are impacted by the light in your life. We're able to communicate across the whole world because of light. We measure space travel by light. Light is far bigger than I think you and I wake up going, yeah, light's a big deal. No, you just want it. That's what you and I think. We just want it. When you don't have it, you want it. So I saw this. I don't know the science behind this, but have you seen the video going around about the moment of conception? Now, some of you know we're not going too far in this, but the moment of conception. If you're on social media, you've seen this. You know exactly what's going on. But this is, they videoed it, which that's cool. That's the moment right there. That was the moment of conception. Which has, those of us who are nerds are like, whoa. In the beginning, God created, and he starts with light. When a human being is actually conceived, light. Light is essential to life. It's what my science teacher wished I had written down a long time ago. But can I go a little bit deeper? I'd like to go a little bit deeper. I wholeheartedly believe God wants you to know that. That light is not just some luxury that you hope to have in life. It is absolutely crucial to your spiritual survival and thriving. You need light. I think it helps make sense of a verse that maybe you've read before or heard before or heard it alluded to, John chapter 8. When Jesus is talking, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Do you understand the weight? If he's saying this, right, that he's the light, the guy, you know who this is, right? The guy who made light. That's why the Bible is so profound that you look at how it starts, how we think God's like, hey, let me show you like how I made this stuff. No, I believe, this is my opinion. I believe scripture starts off with God making light, but he's doing something more than that. He's exampling to you and I what not only what we need, but what he wants to do in our lives. He makes literal light, knowing that the whole Bible would point to our need for spiritual light. And I have yet to meet anybody these days that says, yeah, you know what? Today's world's pretty awesome. It's great. No darkness. I don't see any of it. Most of us detail a lot of what goes on the news that we read as utter darkness. Anxiety, depression, loneliness is skyrocketing year after year after year after year. I think you and I need to take stuff that Jesus said and understand this has weight to it in your life and mine. Then you can flip it. And when I mean flip it, but like you go to the opposite, like you talk about light, you got to talk about darkness. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. So you begin, like, the Bible doesn't like skip around going, hey, it's all a good day. No, there's darkness. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth, that's important. That could be like a verse for you for the rest of the year, that you don't just get light because you believe in the existence of Jesus. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they've done has been done in the sight of God. In relation to darkness, though, it brings up darkness is where danger gets more dangerous or most dangerous. Darkness is all over the place. You know that. I'm not going to go into detail telling you a bunch of stories about all the darkness in the world. I don't think you need me for that. We just know. But what we do know is it's where it gets most dangerous. It's why you and I step on things in the dark. And you're like, how does a little Lego hurt that bad? Right? It's because in the darkness, things get a little bit more precarious. You don't know what's in front of you and what's around you and what you're messing with and what you're facing, what's hiding in the corner, right? It's why a good movie, if they want to bring you into this moment that's scary and intense, they like bring it down to where you can hardly see the characters and it's annoying, right? You're like, what's going on? They're trying to bring you into this ominous moment. So every year we as a church take a word. Now, I don't want to spend a ton of time on this, but let me give you a little bit of history. Months and months and months, I start praying, God, where do you want us to go the next year? While you and I are enjoying our summer vacations, I'm like, Lord, have you thought at all about like the next year, right? Like, where do you want us to go as a church? And so what we've been doing is praying and praying and praying, and Lord, what do you want us to dwell on in 2025? Now, it's not just like dwell on. Of course, we're going to open up the Bible. That's the word of God, right? But what specifically do we as a church, I'm not talking Fountain Springs Church. What do you and I, like believing that God is so sovereign that he knows you, he knows me, he knows our church, he knows our region, that he could actually say, hey, church, I'd like for you to dwell on this. And we pray like that for months and months and months. And Lord, would you reveal this to us? And then he begins to reveal it. So this year's, you already know this. This has been pretty apparent. The word of the year this year is light. So all the sermons, the direction that we're going to go, we're going to try to look at what the Word of God says and say, what does the Word of God say about light that you and I have to know that's crucial? Rather than you and I having just opinions about the headlines and the people around us and the situations going, that's dark, or, boy, that person is really nice. They're the light, right? Let's get into the Word. What does God have to say? And I'm going to summarize it in two words. It's going to take longer than that, but I'm just two words, keywords. If you look at what the Bible teaches, is there is a light to guide and there is a light to give. These are profound words that you should hold on and look at through the rest of the year, where we begin to like, okay, it's not just about being the nice person in the room, which some of you are. I mean, even when I get to preach, you look at me and you like, at least pretend to pay attention. It's fantastic. Some of you look like you want to kill me and gut me, and I'm like, what is wrong, right? But some, it's deeper than just a pleasant countenance. It's this light that guides us. According to Scripture, all throughout, we begin to learn all about this. We don't know where to go. We aren't quite sure about all of the future. There's uncertainty. There's difficult decisions. There's a lot of gray in life that we need a light to actually shine on our world and say, like, tell us where to go. But there's also a light to give that you and I actually, with relationships and around the world, are supposed to give light. So first sermon, of course, we'll pick one, a light to guide. Throughout the whole Bible, it's interesting if you look at the literal interpretation that God would actually use light to physically guide a group of people, the Hebrews, who he freed out of slavery. Watch this. This is recorded in the Bible, Exodus 13. After leaving Sukkoth, they camped at Etham at the edge of the desert. By day, the Lord went ahead of them. And how? Okay, like, was he just walking with them? Went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and at night in a pillar of fire to give them light so that they could travel by day or night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people. This is stuff that I pray for, like, Lord, could you just put something in the sky? And I promise you put it in the sky, I'm following that. Well, the Hebrews, they got that and didn't even pray for it. Like, they would wake up. There it is. It's moving. Come on, that's moving. And they would follow it. And if it's nighttime travel, it's a pillar of fire. And that was life. It's what you and I dream of. Just follow the thing in the sky. God would guide them with light. Then if you go not so literal, you can get a little even deeper in how God would guide people with what I would call light. 1 Kings chapter 3, you hop all the way over there. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon, who's king, during the night in a dream. But God said, ask for whatever you want me to give you. It feels like I'm reading Aladdin, and I'm not. This is the Bible. Can you imagine? Have you ever thought about this? God putting this in front of you. Ask me for whatever you want. I'm going to give it to you. So he answers better than probably I would have. But your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people too, numerous to count or number. So he's kind of almost intimidated by the amount of people he's got to lead. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours? The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this. God said to him, since you have asked for this and not for long life or wealth for yourself, nor have asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment in administering justice, I'll do just what you've asked. I'll give you a wise and discerning heart so there will never again have anyone like you, nor will there ever be if summarize it, Solomon has just asked God, God said, hey, what do you want? Whatever you want, I'm gonna give it to you. And Solomon's like, I would like, if you didn't catch it, wisdom. That's what he asked for. He wanted a discerning heart. He wanted to be able to look at the group of people that he's leading and actually know what to do. You know another word for wisdom? He wanted God to light his path. That's what he's asking. He's like, hey, so I'm leading this massive group of people. I'm not going to always know how to go, turn right, turn left, what to build, what not to build, how to judge people, because he had to judge people, all that kind of stuff. He asked God what you and I crave nonstop. God, would you let me know what I need to know when I need to know it? That's called like, God, would you guide me in such a way that I make the right decision? Would you put light on my difficult decision that I have right now? That's what Solomon basically prayed. He goes, I want to go into these situations knowing what to do, so I need your light. And God's like, you got it, man. And God blessed him a ton. I've learned this in parenting, okay? So each of our kids have all not been fans of the dark. At bedtime, typically almost every time, like you go turn off lights. In fact, I'll even test them at first. I'll turn the lights off, and I know they're about to ask me to turn like lights on, but I turn them off just to see. Sounds kind of mean when I say it out loud. But anyways, I just want to see where they're going to go with this and how this is going to play out. And so I'll turn the lights off, and I know dad, right? And will you leave the light on? Well, you know, it's not going to be great sleep if you leave the overhead light on. Some of you as parents, you were just nicer than me and you had already pre-installed the perfect, whatever synchronized with smart stuff and lights turn on and dim in certain colors, whatever scientific, anyways. So each of our kids have wanted either like a nightlight of some sort, just to be in there, or a lamp. It's almost how they progress. Eventually, we put them in charge of their own lamp. I mean, big responsibilities, right? It's their charge that when it's time for them to go to sleep, to turn that lamp off. Now, each of our kids are growing up. That's how life works. It's unfortunate, annoying. They just keep growing up. So here's what we did not do this year for our children, especially our 21-year-old. We didn't buy him a nightlight. We didn't buy him a nightlight this year. He didn't even ask. He didn't even ask for one. But here's what I've learned in parenting, because I think this is what God's doing in your life and mine. This is what I think he wants to do in 2025. What we've seen as parents is where we start off super literal, like nightlight, lamp, making sure they don't have to live in the actual dark because they get scared in the dark. So we provide the literal. But eventually, our kids all stop asking for us to turn the light on and off. They begin to manage that literal part. But our kids then begin to transition, much like Solomon did. And they'll say, and they're random, hey, Dad, so this happened at school today. What should I do? They don't need the nightlight now. They need to know how to respond to so-and-so. Hey, my teacher said this or didn't do this. How do we do this? Or if they begin to wonder just about life in general, like, hey, so is it okay, Dad, for me to have doubts about God? You see, this begins to be a different, not nightlight. This is like the stuff that carries on for the rest of life. I'm telling you, you have questions in life. I know you well enough. You're like me. You have doubts, thoughts, concerns, uncertainties, and just flat out stuff where you and I don't know how to do it. And we need someone to actually guide us in the moment. And you know what stinks? I'm just going to tell you. Many of us go to Google first before we go to God. Or no, you're like, no, I wouldn't do that. You go to your friend before you go to God. In fact, we live in an era now that I would say we go to our feelings before we go to God. If you want to follow God and do it well and have his light in your life, you have to go to him. That's how it works. Now he's good enough to show up at inopportune times that you did not invite him. I've got many stories, you probably do too, where you're like, I didn't think you'd be here, but okay, all right. What's better is if you just let him guide you. So I'm going to teach you how God guides. That's literally this year. There you go. Spoiler alert. All year long. How does God guide us? I know the light seems neat. I mean, again, I love fire and it's special. But you're like, wait a minute. But how does this physically come into my soul? How does God actually do this in my actual life? Now, this is all year long, okay? You got it? All year long? All year long. So where do we start? I'm going to start where everyone is supposed to start. You may not like where we're going to start, but guess what? You need to deal with it, okay? So we're going to start where I think we're supposed to start. How God guides Psalm 119:105. This is worth memorizing for the year. Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. This is telling us, if you don't know it, like from what we have seen from our heroes in the Bible, from what we've learned from people throughout all of history, that if you want one of these guys, if you want literally God to be like, yep, I can help you. Let's do this. That this is saying that the Bible is as necessary as light. But I'm not going to make you raise your hands on this one. I just know statistically the amount of Christians who don't use the Bible to make decisions, to find out what God wants, is becoming staggering. Don't be that. The necessity of light, we should go back into science for a minute. They've done studies on what darkness does to you and I. If you've ever been stationed in Alaska, you know exactly what I'm about to share with you. This is where they have learned what happens to you and I should you just choose, you know what, David, I actually like the darkness. I sleep better. Well, good for you. But they say that if you're going to live in the darkness, that it begins to actually erode your health. Like, not just like, yes, bones, vitamin D, all the stuff, depression, anxiety, struggles, all that, that your actual internal stuff begins to not function like it's supposed to function because you are surrounded by constant darkness. If you are ever stationed in or work in a place that's constantly dark, they actually have to prepare you how to lead your life so that you don't go into some dark place emotionally and physically because of the darkness. The darkness has been proven to be counterintuitive to you thriving. So what we've done is because we're like, yeah, of course, like light is necessary. So what we've learned is that we can fabricate light. That we can put lights overhead, right? And lights below. And some of us have like lights as accents in our houses, all that, you know, all that kind of stuff. You can do that. What they've learned though is the light that you and I are putting up around us, it's not really effectively fixing everything. It's almost fake light, if you think of it. It's like, that's why they say nowadays you're supposed to go outside in the morning and just soak up the sun. And it's like, it's 5 stinking degrees. No, right? But there's actually, they say that there's a difference between like your light bulb in your house and the sun. I know you know there's a difference, but there's a difference between fake fabricated light and what I would call real natural light. So Professor Sean Kane studying like what darkness does to us, humans today challenge this biology about this. Okay, so we know the biology that we're gonna be impacted by darkness, spending around 90% of the day indoors under electric lighting, which is too dim during the day and too bright at night compared to natural light and dark cycles. It's confusing our bodies and making us unwell. So we're supposed to, and I'm not a doctor at all, we're supposed to, I guess, get some real good light. But here's what we're doing spiritually. You and I are confusing ourselves by trying to actually go after what God wants in a way that's not God's way. We're finding ourselves going, but I love God. We're relying on God's guidance without God's word. We're like, I believe in the existence of God, so I'm going to follow him the way that I want to follow him. We hear that all the time now. Like, I just follow God differently. I just do it differently. I'm going to do it my own way. Here's the problem. According to the word of God, you and I specifically need to learn what God wants by using his word. And his word will make you mad if you read it right. It will frustrate you if you read it right. It will make you change your schedule if you read it right. It'll determine how you manage your finances if you read it right. You know what, if you read the Bible, what you're going to have to eventually figure out how to do? Forgive someone. How annoying is that? Right? Can I say that? I mean, the Bible, if you let the word of God actually light your path, then you will have to say, I forgive you to someone that does not deserve to be forgiven. So you know what you and I do? Well, then I'm not going to apply that part of the Bible. Meanwhile, you're going to face uncertainty and be like, God, show me the way. And he's like, I'm trying. 2 Timothy chapter 3. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching. Teaching. See, you read that and you're like, yeah, teaching other people. Yeah. How about teaching yourself? Rebuking, again, maybe rebuking you, correcting and training in righteousness so that the servant of God may thoroughly equipped for every good work. Let me tell you about modern Christianity, which is probably not even Christianity. We think by just doing good works that that's what God called us to. We treat this part here as, and doing good is good. That's why it's called doing good. But many of us have translated that as, that's how you follow Jesus, you just do good for other people. And we've forgotten that some of the good work that we're supposed to do is generosity, forgiveness, laying down a worry. Ooh, laying down a worry. It's submission, surrender, all the words. I'm trying to use as many unpopular words as I can. Sacrifice. Do you know that what you do with your desires, you're supposed to let the word of God light that path, not your feelings and emotions? So if you and I actually walk this out, let's intensify this a little bit. How God guides. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. Let's take it a little bit further than just opening up your Bible, which I think is good. You should open up your Bible, read your Bible. Did you know, by the way, that there are plans now that will read to you? All you do is click start the plan. That's all you got to do. With your finger, you can choose any finger you want, and you can just push it with any finger. And then for the next year, it will read the Bible to you in sections and tell you about what you just read. If you're right now saying, I don't read the Bible because it's confusing, you're being lazy. Because nowadays, for free, you push it. You got it? Do we need it? Everyone get your finger out. Push it. There you go. And for the next 15 minutes, or you can get other apps that will do it for 25 minutes, we'll read you the Bible and then stop midway through the, going, just so you know, here's what we just read, here's what this means, here's how it applies to your life. But Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 takes you a little bit further than just reading the Bible, which you should read the Bible. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. I think this is where the real struggle is going on. Here's how God guides. Trust and submission keep you on the right path. We're like, oh, I'm gonna get this fancy little app Pastor Dave's talking about, and we're going to see where this takes me. And then you're going to read something you don't like. How dare God put that in the Bible or do such a thing, right? And then you're going to have to figure out, am I willing to trust and submit to God? Because the Bible isn't simply some historical document that you and I are asked to read and should read. We're supposed to read it and with trust and submission actually let the thing light our path. This is where you and I lose our way. Because if you're like me, I've started reading plans. Man alive, I've started more reading plans than I want to admit to you. I finished one this last year. I'm telling you that because I'm stinking proud of it. Because I often will start a plan and not quite get there to the end, okay? But what's most important is not that you wake up every single day and find a moment to read the Bible, which is super important. It's that you read the Bible and trust and submit to the Lord and what did he reveal to you in the Bible. The battle you're going to have this year is here. I read a story, true story, about an author, another author, who was talking about an encounter he had with his son. And his son says, true story, says to his dad and his mom, hey, can I go spend the weekend at my buddy's house? They're like, sure. He's still in high school. So sure, you can go do that. That's fine. It was a couple days. He was going to go spend the night. Have a great time. The next day, the mom of the son, not their son, the mom of the friend calls. Not what you want. It's not what you don't want that. And says, hey, I've got my son here, and he needs to tell you something. And he had played cover. Their son, the original son, he lied. He didn't go spend the night at his buddy's house. He was somewhere else. And he used his other buddy. He used his buddy as cover. And mom was now going, you're going to call them, and you're going to tell, right? And so now you've got dad going, we let our son spend the night at someone's house and he lied to us about the whole thing. It's been a whole scam. And now he's boiling. If you've never parented, you don't know fully what I'm talking about, but you're boiling. You got some stuff. You got some thoughts. You love your child, but you're thinking some thoughts and you're mad, you're angry. You have been lied to. If you've ever been lied to, you know that feeling. When you discover that someone blatantly looked in your face and said one thing and it was a complete lie. It was a scam, completely like you have no idea. So he finds this out. So he goes to his wife. He's like, what are we going to do? I think we need to kick him out forever for the rest of his life. This needs to be done. We're going to banish him forever. Like, right? And she's like, I think I know what you need to do. You need to pray. And no joke, the way he tells the story, he's like, he tells her, I don't want to pray. There's nothing. I don't want to pray for him or about, no. She's like, no, you're missing the point. She says, I think you need to pray for you. You need to go pray for you. He's a good husband, and he listens in that moment. He's like, all right. So he goes in the back room, and he prays for himself. He's like, I'm mad. Our son has lied to us. He's betrayed us. And as he was praying, the Lord began to convict his heart, going, I think you're boiling a little too much. I think you're going over a little too much. So the Holy Spirit stilled his heart. He chilled out a little bit, and he said, amen, and he was done. Still not quite sure what to do. Eventually, their son comes home. Their son does not know that they know. And they leave their son alone for a couple of hours as he's hanging out in his room, going, Lord, help me, Lord, help me, Lord, help me. What he writes here, he goes and finds his son in his room and starts talking to him. This is what he says to his son. You have lived your life in the light. You've made good choices. You've been an easy son to parent. But this weekend, you took a step toward the darkness. You can live in the darkness if you want. You can learn to lie and deceive. You can use your friends as your cover. You can step over God's boundaries. Or you can determine to live in God's light. I'm pleading with you. Don't live in the darkness. Live in the light. That was his speech. He probably wanted to say a bunch of other things. Right? But that was, he's like, Lord, help me. And he knew one, his son's all going, you know, right? Like, this is like, and what got me was this. Here's what he writes. As I turned to walk away, because that was his speech. That's what he's going to say. He's not going to yell at his son. As I turned to walk away, Paul wrote, I heard his voice from behind me saying, Dad, don't go. My son was standing with tears in his eyes. He said, Dad, I want to live in the light, but it's so hard. Will you help me? I've been a pastor long enough that I have sat with many a people who have found themselves moments after choosing darkness, now begging for help. Will you help me? I think if you look at this new year the way you're supposed to, if you start saying, will you help me, to God, listen, to the people around you, specifically your small group, your church, the people you serve with, will you help me? You can go into, here, Isaiah 42. I will lead the blind by ways they have not known. My guess is you have some lack of knowledge for this year. Okay, I will lead the blind by ways they have not known. Along unfamiliar paths, I will guide them. I will turn the darkness into light before them and make the rough places smooth. These are the things I will do. I will not forsake them. You and I don't have to know each other in person. This is what you and I crave for 2025. You're like, give me some of that. But if you keep reading, you realize it's actually a choice. Verse 17, but those who trust in idols, who say to images, you are our gods, will be turned back in utter shame. Now you're like, well, wait a minute. I don't have gods or idols. Yes, you do, because you're like me. Things that you like to put your trust in to save you, support you, provide for you. So look at this. This is how we should look at 2025. When you wake up in the morning and you live your day, which one are you going to choose? And I'm going to tell you, you have to intentionally choose the one you're going to choose. This becomes how we as a church say, we want this. So our daily decision becomes, Lord, light my path. And you start by opening up your Bible, or as I taught you, pushing the button. And that's how we begin to go about letting God guide our paths. I think it's a worthwhile venture for the rest of the year. That you need it and I need it too. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, right now I imagine there's some folks who life is absolutely, utterly perfect. They've maybe found the one. Maybe all the kids are doing what they're supposed to. Maybe the end of the year bonus was fantastic. Maybe their bill of health was just ideal. Maybe what they see and know around them just fits so well. God, would you continue to guide their path and bless them? But Lord, I imagine there's quite a few of us who are like, no, I need help, God. I need help, God. So, Lord, would you give us the help that we need this year? Would you guide our path? Prompt us. Remind us. Convict us to go to your word in order to get your guidance. May we be a church, Lord, that is a light for you, who lives that out, Lord. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.